അല്ലാഹു അക്ബാർ അല്ലാഹു അക്ബാർ അല്ലാഹു അക്ബാർ അല്ലാഹു أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد Muhammadan Rasulullah Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah Hayya ala salat Hayya al-falah Hayya al-falah As-salatu khairum min an-naum As-salatu khairum min an-naum Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar La ilaha illallah A'udhu billah من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
آمين آمين Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger. As-salamu alaykum, my dear, wonderful, beautiful brothers and sisters. And once again, Ramadan Mubarak. This is your brother, Abdul Mutakir Muhammad. Welcoming you to the Umma Reflects. our podcast where we simply try to aid our believers to get up and get off to a good start every morning during the blessed month of Ramadan. We thank you for joining us, and we pray that Allah will guide the words of our guest speakers, and those words will aid us as we grow and develop as believers in Allah. Oh, brothers and sisters, we were blessed to hear from our beautiful brother Salih Muhammad yesterday, who gave us inspiring words and a spirited talk. And we thank Allah for our brother Salih Muhammad yesterday and his wonderful words. And we thank Allah for our guest speaker today. To take us further into our program will be our brother and friend, Brother Jamil Muhammad. Brother Jamil.
Assalamu alaikum, sir. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, my brother.
All praise is due to Allah. Brothers and sisters, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger. It is my honor to greet you this morning with the greetings of Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. On this 28th day, my heavens, it passed by quickly. On this 28th day of the holy month of Ramadan, there's way, way too much for us to thank Allah for in this small moment of times, for us to be permitted to do it in this time. So we pray to Allah to be careful to use these few moments in the best way that we can. We ask Allah in all of our presentations, all of our conversations, all of our exchanges, and all of our encounters to take away from us the unnecessary burden and potentially fatal flaws of vanity and self-righteousness, egotism and pomposity. We ask for Allah to take those things away from us and in their place install brotherhood, sisterhood, familyhood, love, compassion, wisdom, bravery, so that we may stand against the wiles of Satan. You know, it's interesting that this morning we have gathered here in this Ramadan prayer line, the Ummah Reflects, once again. To be present during this time is a real blessing, because as we are still flush in the glow of Laylatul Qadr, the night of majesty, the night of power, which we mark and recognize every year. And by the way, a special, special regard and tip of the hat to my dear brothers and sisters in Chicago, where at the Mas Mariam, the National Center of the Nation of Islam, we were blessed with a wonderful program presided over, of course, by our dear brother, Student Minister Ismail Muhammad, and Student National Imam, Brother Sultan Rahman Muhammad. And we saw our dear friend and brother, Imam, my dear brother, Imam Rafai. I miss Brother Rafai, and it was so good to see him there. But brothers and sisters, the one thing that struck me about the Night of Majesty as I saw it there on the webcast was the wording in the Holy Quran about that night. Peace it is till the rising of the morning. Indeed, the angels and the spirit descend in this night of majesty by the permission of their Lord for every affair. We're still there. Don't think that that was a one-day event. But the night of power, it is said to us in the Holy Quran, is better than 1,000 months, 83 years. The blessings are too numerous to count. The greatness of those blessings is too vast for us to deploy our little small vocabulary to describe. The power that is present is felt by the believers, and so we attempt to describe it and we attempt to live it and share it. Because for the spirit to descend by the permission of our Lord, the angels to descend by the permission of the Lord of the worlds, that means that the personal relationships in the life of the Muslim will be affected. The relationship with self, the relationship with spouse, children, and family. The relationships of the Muslims among the Ummah will be affected. How do we treat the brotherhood and the sisterhood of faith? Do we open up our arms in forgiveness, reconciliation, and atonement? Or do we turn our backs? and walk away holding on to spite and resentment. The relationships with our people will be affected in this hour as Ramadan comes to its culmination in the year 1445. Relations with our people, the poor, the oppressed, the occupied, targets of genocide and food scarcity, terrorism, rape and robbery, murder and mayhem, death and destruction at the barrel of a gun. I'm reminded as I prepare to give way of the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to the Savior's Day Convention in Detroit in this past February. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talked about his view, what Allah had revealed to him, what he sees, and he shared it with us. He said of our brothers and sisters in Palestine, that is our family. He said, you have to grow beyond your black skin, your own black skin, and understand that there are people connected to you beyond that. He then made a statement that stuck in my head. He said, as he baptized himself in the blood of our Palestinian family, that built in him the message that he shared with us that day. In order for a soul to baptize himself in the blood of the suffering of another people, it requires an openness to the compassionate, loving, beneficent, merciful heart of Allah. In order for him to then turn that into a message for us, you have to then rely on Allah, the mighty, the wise, the boldness, the courageousness to stand up for us. The signs are all over the heavens and the earth. I mean, two eclipses in the month of Ramadan, one lunar, one solar, an earthquake that's centered in New Jersey, felt in New York and Philadelphia, a bridge collapse in Baltimore. I mean, all you need today is a newspaper and a lick of sense. You can see that a great change is underway. This is not the debate stage this morning, brother and sister, nor is it the laboratory of experimentation. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Holy Quran puts the language this way, that the earth is vast. We learn in our training to grow into Muslims, we learn that the earth belongs to the righteous. And it's clear to us today that Allah has determined that he will fight for his own. And so it is that you and I must determine that we will fight for our own. We are so grateful this morning as I give way for a principal speaker who embodies and lives these principles and characteristics. I'm honored and happy to present my friend this morning. He is a friend and a brother of great duration, and he's a man whom I respect, not just because of his prolific authorship of books like his latest book, The State of Islam in Black America. That's great, but more than just a man of great erudition and thought and intellect, he's a good brother. And I thank Allah for him being that. Just like we thank Allah for each other. I mean, think about it. You got friends all over the world, some of whom you have never met in person, but I guarantee you, if you run into them in a train station or a coffee shop, not a coffee shop owned by any Zionist occupiers, by the way, but if you meet them in a coffee shop or in a train station, you hear their voice, you might say, hey, wait a minute, didn't I hear you on the Umar Reflex? Aren't you sister so-and-so? Aren't you brother such as? And that warm embrace and those big smiles that follow will bear witness that something special is going on here. And my brother is no exception. He's presented at more than 100 mosques and institutions of higher learning around the country. And so he's not just a khatib, not just an imam, but he is a brother and a friend of ours. Why don't you welcome to the microphones with me, our brother Imam Qasim Amin Nathari.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy, In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that nothing deserves to be served or worshipped as a god except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. After that best introduction, I begin by greeting you with the greeting words of peace. We say it in our original language of Arabic, Assalamu alaikum, meaning peace be unto you. We can never thank Allah enough for allowing us to be blessed with another opportunity to share some words with you this morning during this blessed month of Ramadan on this beautiful podcast, The Ummah Reflects. And we thank Allah for this opportunity. And inshallah, we pray that what we share this morning will be of benefit to all of those that heard it and know that a reminder is beneficial for the believer. Allah, highly glorified and exalted, He tells us in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa tanzur nafsin ma qaddamat lighad wa taqullaha innallaha kabirun bima tahmalun. In the 59th chapter, in the 18th verse, Allah commands us, O you who have believed, fear Allah and let every soul look to what it has sent forth for tomorrow. And fear Allah, indeed Allah is acquainted with what you do. Then in the verse that follows that, Allah, as He so often does out of His infinite mercy, He gives us what would be the pitfall or the downside if we don't adhere to what He commanded us to do. So in the next verse, 59th chapter, 19th verse, Allah commands us further, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسَى اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. And do not be like those who forgot Allah, so He made them forget themselves. Those are the defiantly disobedient. So in these verses that we just mentioned, brothers and sisters, Allah, highly glorified and exalted is He. He's teaching us that if we are to be worthy of Iman or having true faith, that we have to adorn ourselves with fear of Him in private and in public. And similarly, we have to hold ourselves accountable for what we do in this world and what our consequences or what the consequences of our actions will be as to what follows us. These ayah teach us that we should live our lives with the focus on what's greater than today, meaning the reward from Allah. This world is the bridge to that goal, and the reward of Allah is our real objective. And everything we do in this world should be so that tomorrow, when we stand in front of Allah, He is happy with us, and we are happy to meet Him, and He is happy to receive us. We have a statement from one of the illustrious companions of the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, who's known for this famous statement where he said, hold yourselves to account in the world before you are held to account in the afterlife. Evaluate your actions today before you are evaluated tomorrow, for the reckoning will be easier upon you tomorrow if you hold yourselves accountable today. So this for me, dear brothers and sisters, and I'm sure it is for all of us, this is a reminder that this Ramadan should be a time that we do as much good as we can beyond our fasting, but in our good deeds, our charity, our saying a word to the right, us doing those things that benefit more than just ourselves, that this should be a time that we look to send something forth for tomorrow. And we do not ever want to become like those people who don't send anything forth for tomorrow, and then we forget about Allah, and Allah makes them forget themselves. And we understand this verse, this part of the verse about forgetting themselves means that Allah allows the person to become so consumed with the worldly things of this life that they forget to do good deeds. We ask Allah to save us from that and to keep us far from that. Ameen. So what does that have to do with Ramadan? Specifically, we look at Ramadan as being a time of renewal, a time for self-evaluation. And there's a concept in Islam called al-muhasabah, or the self-evaluation. And Ramadan is time for reflection and time for self-evaluation. The very name of this line that we're on today, the Ummah Reflects, that directly connects us to self-evaluation. So when we evaluate our daily, weekly, and monthly actions, we should identify our shortcomings and we should work to correct them and to address them sincerely. And we should identify our sins and shortcomings, and we should repent to Allah and know that Ramadan each year, brothers and sisters, is not a starting from scratch occasion where we leave Ramadan and then we go and just act any kind of way throughout the year. So now we have to start over each Ramadan. Ramadan is simply a retooling, almost like as we could put or call akin to a training camp where we come to retune and get back in shape. We're not learning how to worship Allah all over again. We're just fine tuning those things that Allah has already incorporated within us. So we should ask Allah to forgive us and to make a firm resolve to do as much good as we can in the remaining days of this month as we find ourselves into the last 10 days. And we ask Allah that He will allow us to be beneficiaries and worthy recipients of the blessings of that night that will come in these last 10 days that Allah has told us is better than 1,000 months. And we ask Allah that He will allow us to get the benefit of this month of fasting, and that it was more than just a 30-day exercise of going without hunger, of going without food or drink, just going hungry for 30 days. Because the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, he told us that the person who cannot give up evil speech or evil deeds, that Allah has no need for them to give up food or drink. So we ask Allah for this. We repent to him and we ask him to forgive us all and to bless us during this blessed month and in the days ahead. I'd like to end on a personal note and again thank the organizers of this prayer line, as Allah would allow it this year to be the 10th year that I've been a participant. I first participated in 2014 during Ramadan, and it was at that time that Allah blessed me to connect with my dear brother, our student imam in Baltimore, Imam Abdul Salam Muhammad. May Allah protect and preserve him and his family. And it was in that same year that, by the grace of Allah, my dear brother reconnected me to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who was a mentor of my father when he served as a young minister for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam in Elizabeth in the early 1970s. So Allah doesn't make mistakes, and everything that happened is part of the decree of Allah. And I'm grateful to have been able to participate again this morning, and I pray Allah will give me another 10 years to participate on this beautiful forum, and that He gives me another 10 years to continue to solidify my relationships with my brothers and sisters in the Nation of Islam all throughout the country, and with Muslims all throughout the country and all throughout the world. We're grateful to Allah and we remain grateful. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين. I say these things and I ask Allah to forgive me and to forgive all of the Muslims. Ameen. Thank you so much for your time and attention. And I leave you as I came before you with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum salam, brother Imam. Thank you, Brother Imam Nathiri, for your words with us this morning and being one of our fan favorites, as Sister Nisa would say, on the Umma Reflex. Thank you for your friendship and your brotherhood, and may Allah continue to bless you and your family. All praises are due to Allah. We will now have the Umma Report by our brother out of Philadelphia, Brother Jaron Muhammad. Brother Jaron.
In the book, Black Power in Palestine, Transnational Countries of Color, by Michael R. Fishbach, he explores how the Arab-Israeli conflict became connected with the way the Black freedom struggle in America evolved during the 1960s and 1970s. Stories, including that of an Israeli diplomat's encounter in the Watts section of Los Angeles with Black activists, is instructive. The diplomat's demand to know why, after the June 1967 Arab-Israeli war, Black nationalists supported Arabs over Israel. It's instructive in as much as it sheds light on the fact that Blacks in America were keen observers of the Arab-Israeli conflict in the 1960s and 1970s, and interpreted it in ways that related to their own lives and priorities at home. This was not simply because this particular foreign policy issue was in the headlines so much, but also because it had such tremendous resonance with regard to their respective agendas and understandings of how Black identity and Black political activity should be expressed in America. By 1967, the rising Black Power movement saw itself as a part of a global revolutionary struggle and not merely a domestic reform campaign. Black Power activists believed fervently that they were part of a wider battle against imperialism and white settler colonialism directed against fellow peoples of color like the Palestinians. Israel's preemptive attack on several of its Arab neighbors in June of 1967 therefore pushed them into embracing the Arab cause openly and passionately. According to Fishbach, under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Nation of Islam was instrumental in prompting the likes of Minister Malcolm X to connect with their African heritage and identity. The nation during the era of decolonization did much to pave the way for Black Power internationalism and support for the Palestinians in the 1960s. Minister Malcolm first traveled to the Arab world representing Mr. Muhammad, the result of an invitation from Egyptian President Gamal Abdel Nasser in the late 1950s. He not only traveled to Egypt, but Saudi Arabia and Jordan controlled East Jerusalem. After Malcolm left the nation in 1964, while traveling abroad, spent 2 days in September in Gaza. Several months after Malcolm's first visit to the region, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad traveled to the Middle East, including Cairo and East Jerusalem. Through vehicles like Nation of Islam's weekly news organ, Muhammad Speaks newspaper featured a weekly column titled The Middle East Report by a Palestinian American, along with many articles focusing on occupied Palestine. The nation put the struggle against Zionist Israel front and center in Black households throughout America. The book mentions Organization of Arab Students, or OIS, Vice President Ali Baghdadi, and its support for Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or SNCC, and their affiliations, including a pro-Arab demonstration staged in front of the White House. But what it doesn't mention is the Jerusalem-born Baghdadi weekly columns featured in Muhammad Speaks newspaper and later the Final Call News.
All right. Thank you, Brother Jerron. It's so good to hear you on the Umma Reflect this morning. Thank you for your the Umma Report. We will now have the fast fact from our beloved sister, Sister Dr. Nisa Islam Muhammad. Sister Nisa.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. As-salamu alaykum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our fast fact of the day is, Allah loves the power of a good word. Allah tells us, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, a kind word with forgiveness is better than almsgiving followed by injury. Allah is absolute clement. That is Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 263. We know the power of a good word when we say something and someone lights up with a smile, or when we say something and their activity produces greatness. We know a good word when we hear it and we are inspired, but we know words also have the power to harm and hurt. There is life and death in our tongues. An encouraging word to someone who is down can lift and help them make it through the day. On the other hand, a destructive word with the same tongue to someone who is down can be what it takes to kill their spirit. Here's a story. A group of frogs were traveling through the woods. Suddenly, two of the frogs fell into a deep pit. When the other frogs saw how deep the pit was, they lost all hope and told the two frogs they were as good as dead. The two frogs, clinging to life as hard as possible, ignored their comments and tried to jump out of the pit with all their strength. The other frogs kept telling them, "You need to stop. It's no use to just kill yourselves by exhausting your body." They told them to wait until some miracle happens, or otherwise just forget it. They thought the two would be dead soon, and they went their way. Finally, one of the two frogs accepted those words and just gave up. He thought the others were probably right. He jumped half-heartedly for the last time and stayed down. He died. The second frog continued to jump as hard as he possibly could. He looked at his colleague lying dead nearby, but he never gave up. He wanted to study this situation, and he decided to try one more time with the fullest possible strength he could muster. He told himself that with confidence and determination, he could jump out of that pit. He needed to jump from the right angle, the right spot, and with maximum force. He scienced it up. So he tried one more time, giving his best. Guess what? That frog made it out of the pit. When he got out, he jumped for joy and called for the others to wait for him. The other frogs were shocked. They went up to his face and asked him, "How did you get out? Did you hear what we said?" The frog read their lips and told them he was deaf. He said, "What did you say? I thought you were cheering me on." "That's why I never gave up and kept trying harder and harder." Well, dear believers, there are many lessons to be learned from this story, but the most important is the power of a good word or the encouraging kind word. With just one word, you can destroy your friendship or damage a good relationship. One word can bring someone back from the threshold of death. There is power in the world. Be careful, dear Muslims, of what you say and when you say it. Speak life to those who cross your path. It is sometimes hard to understand that an encouraging word can go such a long way. Anyone can speak words that tend to rob another of the spirit to continue in difficult times. Our words really do have immense power. Be careful what we say during Ramadan, especially during these last days. We must try harder to use our words for good, not for evil. There is power in a good word. We can change people's lives with the right good words. That's our fast fact of the day. Allah loves the power of a good word. Welcome to our listeners from around the world. Countries include Bermuda, Barbados, and Bangladesh. Thank you so much for your support. Since the beginning of Ramadan, we've had over 130,000, I repeat, 130,000 downloads of the podcast. Unbelievable. We thank Allah over and over for the opportunity to serve. Thank you for listening. Islam is not the problem. Islam is the answer. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Nisa. Thank you for the powerful and beautiful fast fact today and the beauty of words and the harmfulness of words. All right, brothers and sisters, we are on day 28. And on our 28th day of fasting, our reading is chapter 58, verse 1 through chapter 66, verse 12. Surah 58, ayat 1 through Surah 66, ayat 12. And as we wrap up and close our program, we will once again ask our brother, would he help us with prayer? Close us, Brother Abdul Shaheed Muhammad. Brother Shaheed.
As-salamu alaykum and Ramadan Mubarak. Let us close with prayer. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. O Allah, our Lord, do not punish us if we forget or make a mistake. Our Lord, do not lay on us a burden as thou didst lay on those before us. Our Lord, do not impose upon us that which we have not the strength to bear, and pardon us, and grant us protection, and have mercy on us, Thou art our protector, so help us against the disbelieving people. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Shahid, for your prayers with us this morning. All praises are due to Allah. As we close, brothers and sisters, we want to say on behalf of our guest speaker, Brother Imam Amin Nathari and his family, thank you, Brother Imam, for your beautiful words with us this morning, and may Allah continue to bless you and your family. Thank you for your friendship. All praises are due to Allah. We say on behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his family, we thank you, dear minister. Thank you. Thank you for all that you have done and are doing in spreading this word of Islam, that people like me will be able to say, La ilaha illallah. Thank you, dear minister. All praises are due to Allah. On behalf of the Executive Council of the Nation of Islam and their families, and we thank each and every one of you for all that you have done and are doing in aiding and assisting the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to spread this word of Islam. On behalf of the ministers and imams that are spreading this word of Islam, I say to you, ministers and imams, teach hard, teach hard. On behalf of my co-host, Brother Akbar, Sister Nisa, Brother Jamil, Sister Majida, Brother Nasser, Brother Shahid, and on behalf of each and every one of you that are listening, and all of the brothers and sisters who will be going out from yesterday and today, Brother Talib in St. Louis, and the sisters and brothers in Atlanta and Memphis, New York, Houston, Los Angeles, Seattle, Florida, going out feeding our homeless and our people. Let me leave you as I came to you with the greeting words of peace. Inshallah, we'll be talking again tomorrow. As-salamu alaykum.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim.
Glory be to Allah. Praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah. Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great.
Subhanallah. Walhamdulillah. Wa la ilaha illallah. Glory be to Allah.
Glory be to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
All praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah.
Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah.
Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim.